you now. Hello there, and welcome to another broadcast of Thine Word is a Lamp. It's so great to have you on the program again. Now, if this is your first time joining in, then I say a big, big welcome and God's blessings to you. To my regular listeners, it's a joy to have you listening again.
Look up, child. Hey, look up, child. Hey, where are you now?
Today is indeed a wonderful day of the Lord. This is Minika, and I'm so happy to be with you as we read and study God's Word. Today, we will read and study the book of John, chapter 11, from verses 1 to 46. I'll be reading from the Holman's Christian Standard Bible. So use this time, go get your Bibles out, grab yourself a drink, and let's dive into the reading of God's Word. Go on, get your Bibles out. John chapter 11 from verses 1 to 46. Gospel of John, chapter 11, and from verses 1 through to 46. Now a man was sick, Lazarus, from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. And it was her brother Lazarus who was sick. So the sisters sent a message to him, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When Jesus heard it, he said, "This sickness will not end in death, but is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after that, he said to his disciples, "Let's go to Judea again." "Rabbi," the disciples told him, "just now the Jews tried to stone you, and you're going there again? Aren't there 12 hours in a day?" Jesus answered. "If anyone walks during the day, he doesn't stumble because he sees the light of this world. If anyone walks during the night, he does stumble because the light is not in him." He said this and then he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I'm on my way to wake him up." Then the disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will get well. Jesus, however, was speaking about his death, but they thought he was speaking about natural sleep. So Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. I'm glad for you that I wasn't there, so that you may believe. But let's go to him. Then Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let's go on so that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. As soon as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Yet even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Your brother will rise again, Jesus told her. Martha said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die, ever. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who comes into the world. Having said this, she went back and called her sister Mary, saying in private, The teacher is here and is calling for you. As soon as she heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw that Mary got up quickly and went out. So they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to cry there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and told him, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her crying, and the Jews who had come with her crying, he was angry in his spirit and deeply moved. Where have you put him? He asked. Lord, they told him, come and see. Jesus wept. And so the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, couldn't he who opened the blind man's eyes also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, angry in himself again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Remove the stone, Jesus said. Martha, the dead man's sister, told him, Lord, he's already decaying. It's been 4 days. Jesus said to her, Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And so they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eye and said, Father, I thank you that you hear me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd standing here, I said this so that they may believe you sent me." After he said this, he shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, bound hand and foot with linen strips, with his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. That ends our Bible reading. May God bless the reading of his word. Amen. So let's dig deeper into it. Jesus wept. I'll say that again. Jesus wept. Now, the word wept translated in Greek in this context means to burst in tears. It means a sudden burst of emotions. It means a shedding of tear in anguish. A tear came to his eyes in deep sorrow. The same word was used when Jesus was on his way to the cross. And we see that in Luke 19 and verse 41, which says, "And when he came near, he beheld the city and wept over it." But I'd like you to note this. He shed tears on the way to Lazarus's grave, not because he was ignorant or doubtful of what was coming, of what he was going to do, but because he sympathized. He could not but sympathize with them. We read in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 15. It says, "Christ is our high priest. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin." When Jesus first heard that Lazarus was sick, he did not rush to Lazarus's bedside to cure him. The narrative says in verses 6 and 7, "So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after that, he said to the disciples, 'Let's go to Judea again.'" Why did Jesus delay? He had a purpose in doing so. And he said in verse 4, "This sickness will not end in death, but it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." So death was not the object or the end result of Lazarus's sickness. Jesus intended to use Lazarus's death for the glory of God. And how was he going to do this? He was about to perform a spectacular miracle by raising his dear friend from the grave. So why did Jesus weep? Compassion for our suffering. He had compassion. Deep compassion that Jesus felt for those suffering. It's true that Jesus let Lazarus die. He delayed coming because he could have spoken healing from a distance like he did for the centurion's servant in Matthew 8:13. His reasons were good, merciful, and glorious. But this does not mean, and I'll say that again, this does not mean that Jesus took the suffering it caused lightly. It says in Lamentation chapter 3 and verses 33, he does not afflict from his heart or grieve the children of men. So even though Jesus always chooses what will ultimately bring his Father the most glory, and sometimes, as in Lazarus' case, it appears to cause affliction and grief, I want you to know that he does not take delight in the affliction and grief itself. No, Jesus is sympathetic. And he is the image of the invisible God. In Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus, we get a glimpse of how the Father feels over affliction and grief that his children experience. And he told us in the book of Isaiah, says, when you go through the fire, I will be with you. So what then moved Jesus to tears? Again, the narrative provides the answer. When Jesus met Lazarus's sister Mary and saw her coming with others weeping, he was angry in the spirit. He became troubled. Seeing their pain moved Jesus to feel the hurt to the point of anger or groaning in the spirit. That was why Jesus gave way to tears. It greatly saddened him to see his friends stricken with grief. Why else did Jesus weep? Jesus wept because of the calamity of sin. The tears of Jesus gives us a glimpse of how the Father feels over the grief of his children. Sin grieves God deeply. And so do the wages of sin, which is death, as we see in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. And ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, our God has endured sin's horrific destruction, because death has consumed almost every human being he created, with the exception of Elijah and Enoch. It had taken Lazarus, and it will take many others because of sin. So this tears of anger because of the calamity of sin was Jesus's tear of grief. Why else did Jesus weep? Jesus wept for their lack of faith. Jesus wept because of the lack of faith he saw around him. When he first told the disciples that they would head back to Judea, what did they do? They reminded him that the last time he was in Judea, he was almost stoned. They were operating in fear and not faith. And they attempted to discourage Jesus from returning to Judea. And so Jesus responded. He said in the narrative in verses 14 to 16, he said, I'm so glad for you that I wasn't there so that you may believe. But let's go to him. And even after that, Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's go so that we may die with him. Now Jesus intentionally waited to go to Lazarus to bring glory once Lazarus was raised from the dead. Still, the disciples planned to go to Judea with Jesus to die with him. As we've already read, once Jesus reached Judea, Mary and Martha said to Jesus, "It's too late. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. There's no way that they believed he can come back to life." When Jesus told Martha that he could and would still raise her brother, she reasoned with Jesus in her belief that Lazarus would rise again in the resurrection on the last day. But Jesus reminded her. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And he asked her, "Do you believe this?" Jesus wanted the people to believe in him. And he still wants you and I to believe in him, even in our most challenging circumstances. Still, they seemed to be focused on whether Jesus got to Judea on time. They were concerned with Jesus' timing being too late, as well as the fact that Lazarus had started to decay, had started to smell. And so Jesus was grieved. Jesus was grieved because all the answers to their need was right in front of them. Yet, they seemed to miss it. They had gone off the rail. They seemed to miss the power of Jesus. They seem to miss the understanding that with God, all things are possible. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Their lack of faith made Jesus weep. Because what Jesus truly wants from us is our faith. Jesus grieved because of the misconception around him. You see, the crowd that followed Mary and Martha, their view was that there was no alternative to Lazarus remaining dead in the tomb. Despite all the miracles that Jesus had performed, despite all the miracles they had seen him perform, my brothers and sisters, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. At such times of trouble, we need to remember that weeping may tarry for a night, but the other side of the coin, joy comes in the morning. And when that morning comes, death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. Revelation 21 and verse 4. Jesus also wept for his coming suffering. Jesus wept because Lazarus' death and resurrection reflected his own coming, death and resurrection. Jesus knew within a short time he too would die and be placed in a tomb. He knew that he would ultimately overcome death and rise from the dead, just like Lazarus. But he also knew it would be an extremely difficult road to walk. And we are told in the Bible that closer to his death, Jesus prayed. He prayed and he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." Mark 14 and chapter 33. He didn't want to die on the cross, but he did want to glorify his Father. We may sometimes weep in this fallen world, but in Jesus, we have a greater hope. Psalms 126, verses 5 to 6 tells us, "Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him." Jesus had to suffer. He had to endure the pain. He had to weep so that one day you and I don't have to. And Revelation 21 and verse 4 encourages us in this hope. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." So what's in it for me? Jesus showed a mix of his divinity and humanity. He was fully human and the Son of God. The Son of God, not God the Son. If he were God in flesh, he would not have been overcome with emotions. But the Bible says the Word was made flesh. So Jesus had true human emotions. But let me say this. Having strong emotions is not a sin and not even a sign of weakness. Indeed, it's quite the opposite. Jesus' strong emotional reaction in this situation shows how deeply he was in touch with how he felt and that he had very deep emotions. No wonder the prophet Isaiah foretold that Jesus would be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We see this in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3. So thus, in his sobbing and weeping, Jesus sets a standard that we must strive to emulate. Having very deep feelings, yes, we can have very deep feelings, but not losing control of ourselves in the midst of those feelings. I'll say that again. We can have very deep feelings, but let us not lose control of ourselves in the midst of those feelings. Jesus teaches us to weep with submission to God. He teaches us to weep without complaining. Remember what we read in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. "This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin." Let's do as the Word of God says in verses 14 to 16. Of the book of Hebrews chapter 4. It says, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, that we may receive his mercy and find grace to help when we need it most. Hallelujah. So what does this show us? What does this show us? It shows us that the Lord Jesus Christ is our friend. It shows us that the Lord Jesus Christ is our friend. He's a tender friend. And he shows his character as a man. In Psalm 103 and in verse 13, it says to us, "The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him." It's all right. It is natural. It is indispensable for a Christian to sympathize with others in their afflictions. But do not emphasize the affliction. Do not enlarge it. Don't sit in it. And don't give Satan the glory. Romans 12 and verse 15 says, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." Grief in personal loss is no justification for lack of faith in God's sovereign action in our lives. However, it is valid for Christians to weep over the death of their loved ones. But their sense of loss is only temporary. We have hope beyond the grave. We should not sorrow as those who have no hope. And we're reminded of this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, which says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." I'd like you to know that Jesus is always present and is waiting for you to come with your trials. Jesus is here. Even though you may not feel his presence, he is always present and always available to give you grace if you go to him in your trials. I will conclude with these thoughts. Come to Jesus just as you are and share your feelings with him. But be comforted by the fact that with God, nothing, nothing, nothing shall be impossible. God bless you for listening. And so if you have a prayer request, you can email me at thinewordisalamp@gmail.com and I'll be praying for you. And so we end today's broadcast. I've had such a wonderful time with you. Join me next time and have a blessed day. Over and out.